Hello, I'm Free Pod host Alan Wenzel, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's in-depth interview. Today, I'm pleased to be speaking with Rob Boyer, City Manager for the City of Freeport. Welcome, Rob. It's nice to have you with us today, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Alan.
You know, it's hard to believe, but we are at year end already. Where's the time go? And we're about to step into 2025. So I'd like to talk to you today, Rob, about what happened for the city that was good, the accomplishments that occurred in 2024. And then after that, I'd like to have you look ahead and see what's coming for, you know, the year in front of us for 2025. Again, thanks for being here. And let's just start with Rob. What got done in 2024 that you're really pleased about? Glad that it got done.
Well, Alan, we have our staff has done an outstanding job, and our contractors, everyone here has really pulled it together for 2024. That includes about 7.5 miles of road reconstruct. So that included Pearl City Road, that section.
Oh, that's nice
out
too.
That way. You know, Adams Avenue is wrapping up. That was about a $12 million project that we completed this year. Obviously, we've worked on everything from Dirk to Oak, and we've just done a tremendous amount of work in Chicago, Iroquois. We did work on State Street downtown, and as well as Quail Ridge, which was an outstanding project for many years. That has been in a deteriorated condition. We were able to knock that out. Sioux Court, Sioux Drive, Yellowstone Court. We've just done work all over the city on road work and transportation.
It seemed like wherever I was driving this summer, I'd run into some kind of city crew doing something on the streets. It seemed like a lot of activity, more than maybe what I'm used to seeing in the past. Would that be kind of a correct assessment? You were just doing a lot of different projects.
And
apparently you put roads at the top of the accomplishments for the city this year. You've done a lot with roads.
Right. Roads and working on crime as well. I mean, this year we doubled our ShotSpotter capabilities. So that will give us better response time and hopefully save on a little bit of PD time and resources there. But I think that's yielded some benefits for sure. And it'll continue to pay dividends in the future.
How many years has ShotSpotter been in place? Has it been 2 years now?
I want to say we put the first edition in. I may be misspeaking here, but I think it was 2021.
Okay.
It's been a few years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we expanded it this year, pretty much west of at the hospital and West Street and further on west along.
So that's paying dividends in terms of less response time and
yes,
ability to get to where you need to be that much quicker.
Absolutely. And it's also, it's kind of like it has a deterrent effect when people know, or the folks out there creating some of the problems know that we're going to be there rapidly. It seems like we have a bit less of it now. I don't want to speak too soon. But it's an element that's working together, not only with our response time. As far as, utility work, we've replaced water main. We brought the water treatment plant on in 2023, but toward the end of the year. And this year we have had far fewer water main breaks. A lot of that, or a part of that, is due to the fact the way the new plant is built has variable frequency drives that slowly start up the high service pumps that feed the distribution system. And it keeps water hammer and shock from happening, which leads to lower occurrences of water main breaks. And to believe, water main breaks are actually a huge part of our problem with our pavement condition, because every time you cut open a square in the street, it allows water to get down in the cracks and cause freeze and thaw, and adds to our transportation problem, which is already pretty substantial.
And if I recall, Rob, this water treatment plant is certainly a state of the art, but it's just doing a marvelous job of taking particulates and all those other things out of the water that might be a problem for a residence or for a business. And it's one of the best water treatment plants in the state of Illinois, from what I understand.
Right. It is advanced on all levels. So it's through using the supervisory data acquisition control systems to its location, the source water that is tapped into. And it's also a big part of our effort to get away from the forever chemicals that
people
have heard of, right? So the old water treatment plant, which to my knowledge this year, we haven't actually used to feed the distribution system.
Well, that's great.
Currently, we just have it available and we're keeping the water turned over within the plant so that if we had a major fire, we would have the capacity for that. But we're in the process and we've received allocation of funding from the Illinois EPA, I think up to about $12 million. We have $7 million in perfluorinated compound funding. We also have another $5 million in forgivable loans. And we received another over $900,000 from Eric Sorensen, who is very beneficial in providing the funding for our next well project.
I tell you, those outside grants and monies that have come in through Eric Sorensen, through the federal government, the state government, have just been a real boon for you folks, hasn't it? It's really helped you do so much that you couldn't have done without that.
Yeah, Eric's been very supportive of the community. He recently was able to get some congressionally directed spending for water main replacements. So we have an additional $1.6 million for next year for water main replacements. And as we all know, we have a lot of older water main that needs to be replaced. And we are trying to fold that in with our street projects. But yeah, so the additional resources are vital. In addition to that, you may be aware we're moving forward rapidly on the wastewater treatment plant, basically renovation. It includes chemically enhanced primary treatment, which will accept, we have a lot of what's called inflow and infiltration to our wastewater collection system.
Now, what does that mean?
Essentially, it's areas where older homes or older buildings are tied into the sewer system for like drainage. So if it rains real hard, we get an influx of rainwater in our sewer system. So right now we can handle up to about 18 million gallons a day. But when that when we have a real heavy rain or we've had a really wet spring, there are times where we inundate our wastewater treatment plant to the point we have to kind of close down the sluice gate. And then we have to what's called bypass pump to the river, which is monitored by the EPA. Mm-hmm. But the EPA is very interested in seeing us get this chemically enhanced primary treatment because that's going to allow us that surge capacity. So when we do get those heavy rains, we'll have a place for that to go instead of into the river. And that'll give us a chance to either treat on site or bring it back through the plant over time. So it's an important environmental impact long term. We'll also be upgrading the headworks, which will include new influent pumps, grit separation.
So is this all on the agenda for 2025, Rob, or for the next 3 or 4 years?
Phase one of the wastewater treatment plant is going to be probably not complete till 2026, 27. It's a very big, I mean, that's a $60 million project that's going on. So, but we're making great progress. We're almost done with the UV treatment. So that'll get rid of chlorine. We won't have any more chlorine disinfection byproducts entering our waterways, and that's good for aquatic life and nature. So,
So when you look back at 2024, it sounds like the three big things you would put on there would be the streets and all the street repairs and road repairs that have taken place. The Shots Spotter, which has done a great job, and you've doubled what is the capacity for that and what it's able to do, and then the water treatment work and the infrastructure related to the city's water supply has been outstanding. I mean, it's work that's ongoing, but you've made some big strides there, bringing on the latest and newest waste treatment plant. Those are the three major things. Those are big things, Rob.
They are pretty substantial, but I also don't want to forget some of the other minor wins.
Sure. Well, name a few of those.
This year we ordered a new engine for the fire department. And in order to save on the upfitting cost of the fire engine, our very handy and resourceful firemen did some of the build out for that.
Oh, wow.
So they ordered it specifically in a certain way that would save some money. They brought it into the fire department, and then they did some of the build out for the equipment cabinets things that saved the city a tremendous amount of money on that order.
Wow.
Of course, you know, nothing gets cheaper when it comes to first responders. So that's a way that they are doing their best to help save the city money.
Right. That's a great example of everybody kind of working together to make good things happen for the city.
Right. And, you know, we've also added some capacity. Did you see the eye hydrants we installed this year?
Yes.
So the eye hydrants do, they measure several things, water temperature, pressure, and they have an acoustic monitor. So if we have a water main break, we can actually get ahead of it by getting this information to the to the control room before anybody even calls it in. Earlier this year, once we put a few of the hydrants in, we had construction crews filling tanks of water, and we also had the fire department testing hoses. But somebody slammed a hydrant.
Oh,
it
no.
resulted in a water main break, but our people knew that it had happened, and that gave us a chance to actually maybe address the root cause, right?
Wow.
So that's maybe a training.
It's almost like an early warning system for you folks. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
You know,
amazing technology.
It is fantastic. It really is. So, and I just want to continue to thank our community development department. They have been very active this year with demolitions. We are requiring all people doing work in the right of way and things to submit permits for review. And slowly but surely, we're getting everybody accustomed to that idea, and that's resulting in better outcomes, right? So in the past, you might've had a contractor comes in, slams out a job and leaves, but didn't realize that he installed the sidewalk too narrow or at the wrong angle or did not use the proper thickness of concrete. And so some of the things that we're dealing with right now in terms of our infrastructure are related back to maybe it wasn't quite right when it was put in originally and now we got to redo it. So we're actually getting ahead of that as well. So by the permitting process, we're being open and clear with the contractors or what's expected, and we're getting the kind of results that we need. And that goes for not only just little contractors and people like that, but it's also our large utility contractors as well.
So 2024 was a busy and very productive year. Lots going on, and I'm sure there are lots of other things you could talk about that got done, the little things along the way that make all of it happen. Let's take a look ahead, Rob, to 2025. We're there. And so it's on, I'm sure, a lot of listeners' minds. What are the priorities for the city in the next year? Do you have two or three that come to the top of the list and things that you'd like to get done?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Last year, we were able to get support for that 1% sales tax, which is invaluable in terms of allowing us a funding stream to work on our transportation infrastructure. So this year, we'll be working on Greenfield. We'll be working on Stevenson, working on Hans. That'll be reconstructed. And Carroll is kind of the big project. So
Carroll Street.
Yeah, yeah. Carroll mm-hmm. Street. It's got, and you'll notice all the ripples in Carroll. That's actually from decomposing railroad ties from back in the day.
No kidding.
They ran the passenger rail system around town.
Wow.
We've also got a similar problem there at Park and Stevenson. You'll notice the ripples at that intersection is also due
really?
To.
Yeah. So the trolley cars are running down the streets in the middle of the street because there was a trolley car down the middle of Stevenson Street at one time, wasn't there?
Yes. And so what happened is over the years, people just filled it in, paved over it, and now those ties are rotting. And so that creates that washboard down Carroll.
Wow.
So we're working on Carroll. So, I mean, when you think about it, we've got Chicago completely done from south all the way to Douglas. We're working on Oak. We got Oak done from south to, I believe it was Liberty. Don't take me 100% on that one. But Oak got done. Quite a ways down to coming up short on the cross street there. We did a lot of the north-south corridors in the 5th and the 3rd and 7th Ward. And Carroll is going to be a major
project for the coming year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Besides the streets, what else do you have? Besides Carroll, what else do you have on the agenda for the coming year?
Well, I have ideas, and mm-hmm. some of them are going to kind of, you know, we're going to see how the conditions work, but we're working very hard to create opportunity for shovel-ready sites for economic development. As I mentioned, we're working on Well 12 and the new source water capacity. I hope that's actually completed next year. We're installing a lift station at Walnut and Land Road, and that's going to provide us more secure and more capacity for wastewater down in that industrial corridor. And so these are some major ones coming along. And one of my pet projects, if you will, we're working with the EPA on a composting permit. And what we want to do is, so when we do the leaf season, okay, we collect all the leaves.
Yeah, which we're in this year right now.
And we're in it right now. We have a contractor that operates the woodlot, which is adjacent to the little landfill across from the nursing home. Part of our agreement was they would haul those leaves and land apply them. Well, they lost their customer on that. So we're retooling that concept, and we're going to do our best to turn that into potting soil. So it takes about 3 years to compost, but we're going to work with the EPA, get a permit. And then if we're successful with the permitting, then we'll be able to take the leaf season leaves and start to compost them into potting soil. And then we'll use that soil for our site restorations after we get done with the next, you know, with one of our projects, we'll use that to do the site remediation.
Boy, that's great.
So yeah, little by little.
I want to return for a second to a comment you made earlier about the 1 cent tax that was approved by the citizens. From my studies, this goes back a ways when I was in college as a political science major. I know a lot of research suggests that people don't mind paying higher taxes when they know and can see that the revenue is going to meet some basic needs within their local area and local community. So it's got to be very rewarding. It's rewarding for citizens, certainly, to see these things being done with monies that are for the whole community. And it's got to be satisfying, I would think, for you, too, as a city manager, to know that we've got the ability to get some things done when folks can see that we're making the effort for the good of the community. It all adds up to successful projects.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to have revenue to do what you need to do in the city. And of course, you know, I came from the private sector. I was actually in the private sector for 20 years. I do have a quality cost timing mindset. And when people say, well, you know, cut somewhere else, we want to operate efficiently.
Sure.
But, it was necessary to have a dedicated source of revenue to work on roads. It is an absolute number one priority in this town is transportation infrastructure. And anymore, there's so much to it. You can't just go in there, mill it off and pave it. Okay. We have, if we're going over 1870 water main, we're going to have to replace
old railroad ties.
Old railroad ties need to be removed. And really the city, there's quite a few streets over, in the older areas that were brick streets.
They
built them, all they were was dirt with maybe a half inch of sand, and then they put the bricks on top. So what happens? So that's fine for horse and buggies and Model Ts, but what happens when you put your enormous garbage truck down there, right? Yeah. It ruins it because that road does not have the base in it to withstand the pressures and the stresses that our modern vehicles place on them. So many of the streets that the newer streets have decent base. So when you go to do one of the newer areas with bad driving surface, there's not nearly as much retro work that needs to be done. You can take up the asphalt. In some cases, you do some base repairs. And in a lot of cases, you already have plastic or you have ductile iron water mains. So it's mostly modern, right? The only thing you're worried about in those cases is maybe the curb condition, the driving surface, and it's much less costly. But when you get into a street that's all brick and there is no base under that sand, you have to go back, excavate out 16, 18 inches, go back with rock. And if you're doing that, you've got 1800 water main you need to get out of there. And then of course you better line that sewer because it's all made out of terracotta pipe and you need to put an epoxy liner in there.
When you do a complete rebuild, like Armstrong Street was, when you do a complete rebuild, what's the projected lifespan of that? It's got to be, 50, 60 years?
There's two components, right? Two major components. Okay. One is we'll call it the foundation, as I mentioned, the base, what's under there mechanically or utility.
You want that to last a long time.
Right. The surface should last you 20 years.
20.
Maybe a little longer, right? So our planning, we really need to be planning for 20 to 25 years in terms of resurfacing.
Oh, I see. So that gets you on a cycle then. When you look at your capital improvement planning, you want to make sure that you rotate, you're on a 20, 25 year rotation to get them all covered.
Right. And that comes down about 7 miles a year.
7 miles a year. Yeah. And that's what you did last year.
We did. Mm-hmm. But that was, we're going to do everything we can with the resources we have. You also have to remember you're going to be knocking out the worst 20%, and that's going to really alleviate a lot of stress and problems in the main corridors and facilities. But also we're not just sitting around using our street crews and our revenue efficiently. We're also working with IDOT very closely. We have, they've had a turnover at IDOT and they own South Street. They own West Street. They own Galena. They own Clark and Douglas. There's nothing we can do with those except for pothole patching. Okay. And we've been really leaning on IDOT. We need to do something with South Street. And you saw some activity in the last couple of years. IDOT came out and they saw cut out the cracks and poured in some concrete. And on South Street, they went through and scarified it, you know, knocked all the humps off. But that driving surface is completely depreciated. And we have been talking to them. We just recently, last week, I believe we got back, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, we got back. We were at District 2 discussing with the new director, the new District 2 engineer, that we need to move forward with South Street. And we even offered, hey, if you resurface this, the city will accept that street as a city street moving forward. So
it strikes me that IDOT is like many state agencies. They've got so much going on all over the state. If you don't stay in their face or in their ear, they're going to forget about you. They're going to, if you're not making some noise with them every so often, they're going to kind of put you off to the side of the back burner. So you've got to be lobbying with those folks probably a fair amount of the time just to make sure that you're not forgotten.
That's exactly right. I believe the term's called mind share. You got to take more of their mind share. But yeah, absolutely. That's what we're doing with that. In addition to that, we're also looking at the housing, you know, concerns out here. You know, we've got a really old housing stock.
Wayne Duckman really talked about that very nicely in an interview we did earlier this year. It's really eye-opening when you start talking about the age of our housing and what's happening to it and how do you keep it, your housing stock strong and for what you hope to be a growing, you know, population base at some point.
Right. Well, you were asking about 25, and I think 25 is going to be the year we figure out a repeatable formula for our housing issues.
Oh, great.
I don't know how fast that will happen, but I will tell you that, as we accumulate vacant lots from demos and as we move forward, you know, on the flood mitigation grant and getting things cleaned up with that, I really hope that we can come up and innovate and bring some new housing opportunities to redevelop existing lots, because all the infrastructure is there and we're paying for it, you know, but it's not generating any increment, tax increment for us. So we really need to backfill some of those vacant lots. And we've been working with local contractors and people on that, but we're still working on the solution to that. It'll take a little bit more time, but I think we'll come to something not too long.
Rob, really appreciate your time that you've spent with us today, learning a little bit more about what's ahead for the city, as well as looking back and talking about our accomplishments for the last year. As we draw this interview to a close, anything you'd like to leave with our listeners, Rob? Any thoughts, any ideas you have that you'd like us to retain after this interview ends?
Well, I would just like to just extol virtue on our city staff. We have outstanding people in every area, public works, utility, police and fire. We have some of the most highly trained and hardworking people working for the city every single day. And I just want everybody that are casually observing this whole situation to understand that if it's not for our people, we don't have anything. So we need to make sure we're taking care of them as well. So
good shout out to those folks who are doing all that hard work. Yeah, thank you, Rob, for your time. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I'd like to remind you to tune into our regular weekly newscast of the local news you've been missing on Thursdays at noon, and of course, our in-depth interviews on Tuesdays at noon. FreePod couldn't come to you without the help of many local supporters. We're especially appreciative for the Mass Communications Department at Island Community College for producing our podcast, as well as for all of our many liaisons and reporters for the time they volunteer to bring the news to you. This is Alan Wenzel on behalf of Team FreePod, thanking you for listening.